Stranger than science. Incredible but true events that have baffled mankind since the day they happened. Narrated by Frank Edwards.
For half a century, science has been recording strange radio beams from elsewhere in the universe. Are they signals from outer space? I'll have the full report for you in just a moment. Radio signals from outer space are not new, but they are just as mystifying today as they were when Marconi first picked them up more than 50 years ago. The father of wireless was conducting some experiments on his yacht in the Mediterranean when he detected signals which he regarded as code, meaningless to him. He instructed one of his co-workers to make a public statement on the matter at a scientific and business banquet in New York. Marconi's remarkable telegram was read, it created some headlines, and then was quietly dropped. Nikola Tesla, the famed Yugoslav electrical wizard, also reported receiving cryptic code signals, which were most numerous and strong when the aerial was turned toward the planet Mars. Like Marconi, Tesla had no qualms about making a public report on his findings. If Mars was trying to reach us, these scientists felt that we should know about it. In 1924, engineers for RCA admitted that they too had picked up these mysterious chatterings, which did not fit the patterns of any known code, but which bore the earmarks of being intelligently conceived. The signals were recorded by RCA, discussed, then filed and forgotten. But they were suddenly recalled by a remarkable experience which befell the scientists in the Naval Research Laboratories in Washington. Scarcely more than a year after the RCA incident, the naval research experts were testing the Jenkins process for recording wireless signals on photographic film. Out of the ether came a weird chirping that made no sense in terms of intelligible code. But when the film was developed, the scientists were astounded at the results. Instead of recording as intermittent dots and dashes, the weird code had arrived in such a fashion that it was recorded in the form of faces. Crude caricatures, to be sure, but faces beyond a doubt. In 1926, the United States government financed a project which was designed to contact Mars by radio if possible. Scientists from Johns Hopkins University, aided by radio experts from both the Navy and the Signal Corps, selected a spot in Nebraska. There, they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars constructing a powerful transmitter and delicate receiving sets. For 2 weeks, they sent radio signals in the direction of Mars and waited hopefully for some indication that they had been heard. The net result, according to the official statement, was inconclusive. 30 years later, great observatories all over the world were installing costly radio telescopes, huge metallic dishes that can be focused on individual planets. On June 4, 1956, the Naval Observatory in Washington announced that it had succeeded in making what it called the first radio contact with Venus, a contact which led them to believe that Venus had a surface temperature about equal to that of boiling water. Ohio State University reported that its radio astronomer, Dr. John Krause, had used their radio telescope to receive two types of signals, including the Class II signals, which, said the university, have many of the characteristics of a terrestrial radio transmitting station. These signals, which Dr. Krause said resembled radio telegraphy in many ways, were received only when the giant radio telescope at the university was trained precisely on Venus. One of the strangest, and perhaps one of the most significant of these bizarre broadcast incidents, occurred in England in 1953, when many television viewers were startled to see on their screens the station identification card and call letters of television station KLEE in Houston, Texas. The signals came in strongly throughout a large portion of the British Isles during two consecutive days, and many viewers recorded the freak broadcast by photographing the picture on their television sets. Notified of the unusual reception, the British broadcast engineers had no difficulty picking up the same signal. Now, freak long-range television pickups are rather more common than most viewers realize, and the British authorities attached no unusual significance to the reception of KLEE until they contacted the Texas station. Then they got a real shock. KLEE went off the air in 1950. The successor to KLEE notified the British that no KLEE identification card had been televised at any time since 1950, 3 years before the picture was picked up in Britain. The officials in Britain ruled out the possibility that it could have been a pointless practical joke, which would have cost at least $100,000 to perpetrate. Where did the signal come from? Why was it beamed only to the British Isles? The chief engineer for the British Broadcasting Company said, "Our investigation leaves us with but one possibility, however incredible, that these signals were transmitted to us purposefully and intelligently from a source and for a purpose presently unknown."